I invite Sue Eyman to come and share our scripture.
The scripture is from Matthew 6, chapter, verses 22 to 33. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat and what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds in the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things. And indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well.
This is the time of year when the days are growing shorter and the nights are growing longer. Friday afternoon, I sat and watched the slanting rays of the late afternoon sun lighting up snow-covered fields. I saw the hints of snow flurries floating on the wind. What do we see on these days as autumn moves toward winter? What do we notice as the light fades more and more quickly and the cold has come on so fast? If you're like me, we're tempted to complain about the cold and the gathering darkness, the time change this week. But we can also notice the amazing beauty of the sunsets and the snow. What do we see? What do we pay attention to? The eye is the lamp of the body, Jesus said. If your eye is healthy, if your eye is whole and true, your whole body will be full of light. What we see, what we attend to, shapes our lives. More and more I'm coming to understand Jesus' teachings to be about transforming our perceptions, changing how we experience the world. Over and over again, he said, "You who have ears to hear and eyes to see." He invited people to open their eyes and their ears, to open their hearts to see, to expand their consciousness, to increase their being, to learn wisdom. He called people to see and know what he called the kingdom of God, God's realm, God's love and light, here and now, with us and within us. But there are many barriers that blind us, many temptations that leave us stumbling in the dark. Jesus warned us, you can't serve two masters. In the translation of the Bible into the language of Bangladesh, which was where I lived as a child, it says you can't stand with your feet in two boats. We know what that'll do to you. Jesus said we have to choose our allegiances, our allegiance. You cannot serve God and wealth. The actual word here is the Aramaic mammon, which has come to mean a lot more than just money over the years. Because, of course, it's not the actual money that's the problem. It's the serving it, the placing our security in it, putting our value and our identity in it. It's not just money then, of course. It's status, it's possessions, it's achievements, it's accomplishments. It's all the things we think we have to do to be okay, to be safe. We can't serve them without being owned by them, being possessed by them. And it's such a slippery slope. You can't just eliminate money and doing things from your life. Maybe a few of us might get to be monks or nuns and sort of manage to do that, but mostly no, we live in the world. And so we so quickly fall into letting these things matter too much and take over our allegiance. We so quickly let them begin to define us and our lives. And we're so tempted to think we need them. We have to do these things to be okay, to be safe, to be secure. But they so quickly lead us into worry and to fear. Jesus tries to show us a different way. Don't worry about what you will eat or drink or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. Look at the lilies of the field. They don't work like we do. They don't think about tomorrow. But they are so beautiful, so much more wonderful than anything we can ever create. It's hard, isn't it? Hard to follow this. Don't get caught up in worrying, Jesus says, and if it's quickly easy to start worrying about your worrying. Our worrying, anxious minds lead us round and round. Our worry leaves us lying in the bed at night, unable to sleep. Our worrying makes us fret and stew. We get caught in our monkey minds, back and forth, round and round, fretting over the past, which we cannot change, anxious about the future, which we can neither predict or control. Cynthia Bourgeau yesterday talked about the present as this slice with about 3 seconds on either side of it. The now. That is all we have. That is where we live. Everything else, past and future, not in our control. So much of spiritual practice is about bringing us back to the present. And the world of nature does help us do that, doesn't it? Watching the snowfall, noticing the sunset, seeing the birds. So many of us in so many ways rely on those natural prompts to help us recenter, to ground us. It struck me this week that I think one of the deeply difficult aspects of our current climate crisis is that at some very emotional level, this created world that we have looked to all our lives for comfort is now a source of worry and threat. The places and the creatures we've always looked to for calm are now at risk. It's so difficult to take that in. When we admit what's actually happening, we can immediately find ourselves just caught up in worrying and fear. How do we as Earth's children live and act when we find ourselves worrying about Mother Earth? We've always trusted her, relied on her, looked to her for what we needed, taken her for granted. It's time to grow up as human beings and take responsibility. But worry is not the way, Jesus would say. Worry and fear are motivators. They can drive us to action. But those actions are driven by forces that quickly steal our energy and sap our spirits. Reacting from worry and fear is letting our eyes be focused on the darkness, not on the light. Fear and anxiety for the earth will not heal it or us. So we have to remind ourselves, the earth itself is not ultimate. Although it connects us to our shared creator in deep and powerful ways, it is not God. God is more. God is spirit, energy, ground of being, ultimate source of all. God is the tangible reality, the imaginal reality, and beyond. I come back again and again to Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should shake, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar in foam, though the mountains tremble with the tumult. Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. There are so many ways we find ourselves pulled into worry and fear, so many concerns. I know bits and pieces of many of you here and your personal worries, your stresses, your concerns. And we all know the societal concerns. Political crisis? Yes, we're in a political crisis. I think we've reached that point now. Threats to our democracy, threats to human rights, painful realities of long-term economic and social injustice, the resurgence of white nationalism, racism, all these things that weigh us down, that we want to respond to. And what we are called to respond, to find the ways God's leading us to act. But it has to be from a place that is deeper than worry and fear. The teachings of Jesus call us to respond from a place of deep faith and deep hope. Luke's gospel combines Jesus' teachings about the eye as a lamp of the body with the teachings to let our light shine. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it in a cellar, but they put it on the lampstand so that those who enter may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of your body. If your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But if it is not, your body is full of darkness. Therefore, pay attention so that the light in you is not turned to darkness. If your whole body is full of light, if your being glows with light, it will be as full of light as when a lamp gives you light with its rays. The Message translation, which is always interesting, puts it a little differently. No one lights a lamp and puts it in a drawer. You put it up on a stand so everybody entering the room can see. Your eye is a lamp lighting up your whole life. If you live wide-eyed in wonder and faith, your body fills up with light. But if you live squinty-eyed in greed and distrust, your body is a dank cellar. Keep your eyes open, your lamp burning, so you don't get musty and murky. Keep your life as well lit as your best lit room. We are called to seek and to see the light and to be the light. Jesus came to show us the way, to teach us how to see and know the beauty and the light that shines even in the darkness. Jesus came to open our eyes, to transform our hearts, to empower us to see and be what we are meant to be. Jesus came to bring us life. In the words of John's gospel, in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. And that light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. The darkness cannot overcome it, ever. There is light and love always available, always present for us. Nothing can separate us from that love. That is the place we live from. That is our deep hope and our deep faith. That is the place that is greater than our worries and our fears, greater than the crises and problems around us. We have light to guide us. We have love to hold us and keep us no matter what. And we are called to share what light we have, to live wide-eyed with open wonder and trust, to open ourselves wide open, so that our lives fill up with light and that the light in us shines through us and brings light and love to those around us. Let's live in the light. Let's walk in the light. Let's be light.